Today's Second Testament reading is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth makes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If Paul was writing in the 1970s, he might have adapted the Allman Brothers' great hit, Ramblin' Man, as one of his signature jail tunes. Lord, I was born a ramblin' man. You know it? You like it? Lord, I was born a ramblin' man, writing messages with my hand. Sitting in my prison cell, I hope you'll understand. Run on sentences by a ramblin' man. Sing it with me. No. Paul was a rambler, especially in his Ephesians letter. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we began our journey through the letter of Ephesians. And we were caught up with Paul in wonderment and amazement as this God who was blessing him, and he was praising the God of all creation, the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, giving praise, but then also pronouncing blessings and praise to the people of God while he was in a jail cell. And then part two of the letter that you heard from Colin last week was this theme of grace upon grace. And Paul, after the praises and the blessings, he says, and it's all about grace. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not by your works. It's the gift of God. And you are God's handiwork, created in advance for good things, to do good in the world. And then today's section of the letter takes us into a prayer. We reach the halfway point of this letter in Ephesians. And like the beginning phrases, Paul starts to ramble. And this time it's a rambling prayer, and I've put it on the back of the bulletin today, and I hope that you'll use that, because we'll do a little interactive activity with that in a few minutes. So this is Paul's prayer for the people of Ephesus. This prayer that he wanted to bless his people with. He was in prison for maybe the second or third time in 5 or 6 years, and he wondered if this might be his last letter. And so in it, he puts this praise and this blessing, and he reminds the people that it's all about grace, but then he also wants to pass on this prayer, so that they might know how he wanted them to continue to grow in their spiritual formation journey in the years ahead. And so we have this prayer for us, and I've called it Paul's Ramblin' Prayer for the Saints. because that's what we are. We're saints, and we're not saints with squeaky, clean, bright, shining faces. We haven't done anything wrong, saints. We are saints like the saints of Ephesus, who were struggling within. They were trying to figure out how do Jewish Christians and non-Jewish Christians who are now following Jesus, how do they actually live together as one body, as one group? And we find the same thing in the 2018 church. How do these people who have differing ways of understanding faith and this idea of following Jesus actually get along to be the body of Christ? And there were forces from outside of the Ephesian saints. There were warlords and emperors who wanted to crush this movement, this ragtag movement of just zealous people who wanted to worship Jesus as Lord versus the emperor as Lord. And they had this otherworldly force, the Holy Spirit, buoying them up and giving them courage in the face of death and persecution. And so Paul says this prayer for these saints who are struggling and persevering in 55 CE. But the beauty and the power of this prayer is that it stretches down through hundreds and hundreds of years and millennia to us, these First Baptist Church pew sitters. On Sunday morning, July 29th, 2018, this prayer comes to us as a word of encouragement, a word of, yes, you can keep on doing this following Jesus thing in the midst of a world that maybe doesn't believe, or in the midst of a world that half-heartedly believes. Paul prays for us that we might persevere as the saints of God, both now and forevermore. That's good news for us. So Paul's rambling prayer begins. And like a couple of weeks ago, you'll note that there's no punctuation in this prayer. Because in Paul's prayer, which would have been written in Greek in that first century, there's no punctuation. And there's no commas, there's no periods, there probably wasn't even any paragraph breaks like I've granted some of you, English majors in the house, who that drives you crazy that there's no punctuation here. But part of the reasoning is that you might just have a word or a phrase that rings or sings in your heart or mind. And so you're not distracted by periods and commas. You simply look at that prayer and try to take it in, and maybe there's a word that rings or sings or captures your attention. And again, we'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. Paul's rambling prayer begins with, I bow my knees before the Father. And maybe that was a little poke at the emperor, that he's saying, I bow to the Father. I bow to Jesus as Lord, not Nero as Lord. He says, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you, and in the Greek, when you read you in these First Testament and Second Testament letters, it's usually plural, y'all. So it's not this individual prayer to just you individual people. It's to us as the body of Christ, as it's people who have these forces outside of us and forces within us that are trying to break us up. Paul is praying for y'all. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you all may be strengthened in your inner beings with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you all are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you all may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is Paul, the saint, praying for us. Good news. And so I want us to pause with this prayer and pay attention to that word that rings or sings. What part of this prayer offers you comfort and care today? Let me just read those prayer paragraphs again. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is the word that rings or sings or captures your attention this morning? I'm going to move closer. In your bulletin this morning, you'll notice that there's a purple insert, and it says, I pray that on it. I pray that. Do you see that? Does everyone have one? I pray that. I'm going to pass these golf pencils around because I want you to jot something down on your insert. And I want you to jot down something along the lines of that word or that phrase that rings or sings to you from that Pauline prayer this morning. And I want you to write it twice, because we're going to have a midsummer prayer meeting here, folks. I want you to write it twice, because then what you're going to do is tear that off. It's kind of like a 50-50 ticket. You get to keep one for yourself, and then you get to trade one with someone in the house of the Lord today. Yay! All the extroverts go, yes, let's do that. It'll be awesome. All the introverts are like, no, don't do that to me. But let's pray for each other. And as you are feeling the love of God and the encouragement of Christ and the prayers of Paul blessing you, I want us to then turn around to someone else in the congregation and share our prayer with them. So we're still letting the pencils get around, so I'm going to give you another 1 or 2 minutes to make sure you have something to write your prayer down with. And as you look at that prayer that's on the back of your bulletin, the words or the phrase that rings or sings, take that with you this week, but then also be prepared to share that as a blessing and a prayer with someone in the congregation today. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about speaking prophetically to one another. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we actually uttered words from the first chapter of Paul as a way of blessing one another with words. And so this is simply another way of being practical with our prayers or being practical with our words. And so maybe not prophetic words today, well, prophetic words written down as a prayer that might encourage someone in the body of Christ today as you are being encouraged. And then maybe this might inspire you to share this with a friend or a neighbor or a stranger this week, where this word that you've been encouraged and blessed with, you might take outside of these four walls as a blessing to someone else in our community. I was reading through Anne Lamott's conversion story this week, and if you know Anne Lamott, she's an American writer and activist and a bit of a renegade. She's written some... she wrote... Does anyone know any Anne Lamott books that are meaningful that other people would know? Traveling Mercies, okay. Anyone else read Anne Lamott and have a favorite book? Because maybe people might want to read Anne Lamott. Help, Thanks, Wow. That's one of her more recent books, right? So Anne Lamott was this total God-hating person who had this conversion experience. And you can read her conversion story even if you look it up online. But one of the stories from her post-conversion experience was saying, I live for Sundays. It's like going to a spiritual gas station to fill up on fuel and clean the dirty windshield and mirrors. I usually show up nuts, self-obsessed, and vaguely agitated. Does that fit anyone here in the congregation? I love this phrase. I usually show up nuts, self-obsessed, or vaguely agitated, and I am at once reminded, not of who I am, but whose I am. And so as I was reading that, I thought, well, that's why this prayer exercise will be so great. We can be that spiritual gas station for each other today, reminding each other not of who you are, which, I mean, who you are, there's lots of good stuff to that, but reminding each other whose you are. And so I hope that this prayer from Paul will find some rootedness in our lives this week, and even the prayer that you've written down might be a way that you can encourage and pray for someone here, but then we're going to try and take out the power and presence of that prayer into the places that we're called to be a blessing this week. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, just roam around and share a prayer. Maybe you want to share your prayer more than once if you're really into it, but at least exchange your prayer with one person as we share the blessings of Paul's prayer amongst the community of faith today. Let's do that together. Okay. Thanks for sharing your prayers. This is good for us. I was thinking this week, we, as this local body of faith and body of Christ, we often take it for granted that there's a sense of unity and love and care and compassion. I don't know if you go to many other churches, and maybe you don't, but you might be surprised at how many churches aren't getting along these days. And so it's nothing short of a miracle to be a part of a community of faith where people want to be together and want to say words of kindness and blessing and encouragement in the journey. And we haven't been a perfect congregation over the past 125 years, so we've also had our ups and downs too. But I sense that in this season of life at First Baptist, we are in a place where we are trying to encourage and bless and pray for each other. And so today, even as we've done this, it's a real gift to share and pray and to also really find this place to be a spiritual gas station where we are filled with the fullness of God. So I invite you to pray with me as we close and hold these prayers in our hands and our hearts. Let's pray together. God of glory, who accompanies us, we pray that you would continue your good and fruitful work here at First Baptist Church Edmonton. Even as we share our prayers today and read these prayers from our sisters and brothers beside us in the pews, we pray that you would ground us and root us in love, companion with us, enthuse us, strengthen our inner beings, dwell in our hearts anew, fill us up with all the fullness of God, empower us, but also let us rest in your promise that you are able to accomplish abundantly more in our lives than we can ask or imagine. And so, Lord Jesus, we wait, we watch, we pray, and we work. We seek to comprehend with all the saints the length and width, the height and depth of the love of Christ. Amen.